Heroes. Don't take it.
Wait.
Okay, thank you. Fellow students, as we stand here on the turning point, ready to flip the page of our lives to a new chapter, may I offer these words as inspiration for the coming years. High school may not have seemed important to you as you were living through it, but 10 years from now, we'll look back on our days here and realize, yeah, actually, we were right. It was kind of sucky. I mean, let's be honest. If any of you think this was the best part of your life, you must have a pretty miserable outlook on the rest of your existence. Gonna go out on a limb here and predict no one in this class is winning a Nobel Peace Prize anytime soon. Look around you. Chances are at least one of us is gonna die before we have the 5-year reunion or whatever. Not that we know who, because most of us aren't gonna show up to that. We'd honestly like to forget the majority of the past 4 years and dredging up those memories in a hot, crowded gym with people you don't remember and that one guy who was prom king but now works the midnight shift at Best Buy. Well, that just ain't my cup of tea. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm just being real here. Speaking of real, I'm real positive at least half of you are gonna drop out of college. Whatever you think your career will be in high school is 9 times out of 10 not what it ends up being. But let's look on the bright side. Aside from getting arrested at a bar at 3 a.m. for drunken misconduct, college is probably going to be better than high school was. Sure, a bunch of you, especially the girls, are probably going to go off the deep end, dye your hair blue, and end up hating your parents, but I'm sure a few of you will end up being relatively okay members of society. Okay, the principal's motioning for me to get off the stage. He looks pretty angry. Anyway, it's been great graduating with you folks. Yes, even the weirdos who spend every day huddled in the back of the library with their weird Japanese comics. Well, have a nice life, and take comfort in the fact that you won't even remember my name in 2 years. Hey, quit shoving. I'm going.
Hello, everyone. I'm Leroy Straddle, field correspondent for Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, inviting you to a new segment on the show. There's nothing we here at HDTWB value more than our community, and we hope to encourage those in our community to share their opinions on local and national issues by offering this spot in our program for discussing said issues. We need to gather a diverse group of individuals from around our town so we may be able to represent all sides. As long as you're able to back up your opinion with factual evidence, we would love to hear it. Today we brought together some of our fellow citizens, all from very different backgrounds, to talk about the controversial decision by City Council to begin trimming the hedges at the local park. As you recall, until recently, hedges were allowed to grow untamed throughout the park, and they were not as well maintained as the trees or lawns around them. It was just last month the city heeded the advice of respected botanists and qualified professionals in deciding to begin pruning the hedges just as any other plant. But this caused a great stir in our sleepy little hamlet, however, as some weren't so happy to see our beloved leafy friends torn apart by the blades of man. So, to discuss the topic of pruning hedges today, we have 3 members of the community. If you will each introduce yourselves, let us know a little bit about you.
Well, sure. My name's Agnes Merriweather, and I've been a member of our community for 15 years now. I love the area and the people that live here, and I've run the local Do No Harm to Plants organization for, nearly 3 years, it must be.
Yes. Very, very nice. And you, sir?
Hello, I'm David Bergs. I've lived in this town all my life. I'm a vegetarian, but not the kind of vegetarian most people think about when they hear the term. I'm a vegetarian in the same way people are humanitarian. They help their fellow man with charities and such, and, well, I look out for vegetables. More specifically, just plants in general.
Very interesting. How about you?
Well, howdy everyone out there listening to the radio. I'm Jack. Jack Finn. I just moved here about 8 months ago, but I already feel like I've lived here all my life. I love the area, and I love everybody here. And what I especially love about the area is the beautiful local flora and fauna. So much so that I joined Agnes's Do No Harm to Plants organization.
Delightful. Well, now that we've all introduced and told everyone all about ourselves, why don't we get into the topic? Now, should the city prune the hedges in the local park?
Don't you dare!
You better leave them alone! No, that is not your business.
I'm
not
going
to get to make a
reason. People, if you'll all just put your protest signs down, put down the pitchfork there, we can have a nice, constructive conversation about the issue, okay? Are we calm? Okay, all right. So, who wants to start us off?
I will.
Agnes, okay, fine. Now, what do you think about the city's decision to start trimming the hedges in the local park?
Well, I think it's a travesty is what it is. The city has no right to come in here and decide what to do with those bushes.
Well, now, Agnes, the city does actually have...
Hold on, I'd like to dispute Miss Merriweather's claim.
Oh, Dave, are you coming out in support of the city's rights to decide what to do with the park?
What? Of course not. The city is killing plants without care. I don't support them at all.
Well, then what's your disagreement with Miss Merriweather?
I think she used the word travesty wrong. I believe she meant travesty of justice.
No, I definitely meant travesty. Just a plain old travesty.
Something can't just be a travesty. It has to be a travesty of something.
Well, I'll have you know, I've read countless books each year. I should know about the English language.
Hey, easy there, easy. It's nice to see we have such a difference of opinion in our discussion here, but let's get Jack in on it. Jack, how do you feel about the city's decision?
Well, I believe that pruning those hedges is going to do irreparable damage to them. It's never good to just chop branches off of plants.
Well, that's quite the declaration there, Jack. The city's had specialists come in and confirm that the best thing for hedges would be to prune them.
Well, I have my doubts about the qualifications of those specialists they hired. They may have their fancy degrees certifying them as foresters or botanists, but what do they know about herbology? Do they actually listen to the plants and what they want?
Whoa, Jack. As you know, on our program, we don't like making accusations without having proof to back up our claims. Do you have some sort of evidence of wrongdoing by the city?
No, I have a feeling. Asking for proof sounds rather oppressive, and I resent anyone who disregards my feelings by demanding empirical evidence.
You mean you haven't actually looked into this at all? Then, what makes you think these specialists are unqualified?
I think I may be able to answer that.
Oh, okay.
As you know, Jack here is a member of our Do No Harm to Plants group, and our organization has been preparing to start an investigation into the city's hiring of those specialists.
Well, why do you have such misgivings about the botanists that performed the study?
Well, for one, many other specialists have conducted similar studies and have reached the exact opposite of the laughable conclusions of those hired by the city. The city just happened to pick the results they like best.
I wasn't aware of other botanists conducting the studies. What specialists have performed these other studies?
Us.
You?
Yeah.
You've conducted studies?
Our Do No Harm to Plants organization conducted a completely impartial study and have decided it would be best for all concerned to do no harm to those plants.
Very interesting. Dave, how do you feel about the botanists hired by the city?
Well, I disagree with Agnes and Jack here.
Oh, of course you do. You just have to be contrary.
Now, Jack, difference of opinion is what this show is all about. We can still get along even if Dave accepts the findings of the botanists and you two don't.
Whoa, I never said I accepted the findings. I just said I disagree with Jack and Agnes.
Well, what do you disagree on?
They said they found fault with the findings of the specialists hired by the city. Well, I don't think the city hired a specialist at all. I think they just faked the findings to justify cutting down the hedges. The city just wants to make money off of selling the sticks and leaves to the big mulch industry.
Dave, I feel like you're pointing out the city's not cutting down the hedges. They're just pruning them. Now, I'm sure you misspoke, but I just wanted to make sure that's clear for our listeners.
Oh, I didn't misspeak at all. If the city is allowed to move forward with pruning the hedges, what's to stop them from cutting them down entirely? And then they start cutting down other plants. Pretty soon the entire park will just be scorched earth. Then the city will sell the land to some big corporation, and before you know it, our beloved park is turned into a parking lot for a sporting goods store. Is that the plan you want to leave for future generations?
Well, does anyone want to respond to Dave?
I think I have something I want to say.
Oh, Agnes, I assume you're taking issue with Dave's slippery slope argument. Go right ahead.
Dave, would you like to join our organization?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I'd be happy to.
We meet in the park every Wednesday at 4.
I'll be there.
Well, it's nice to see that even after such spirited debate, we can still find some sort of common ground against all this great diversity of opinion. That's all the time we have for today, folks. So if you'll just reintroduce yourselves, we'll all get out of here, huh?
Well, I was Jack Finn, and I'm happy to have had the opportunity to come here today and debate these folks here with a wide variety of opinions.
I'm Dave Bergs, and thanks for having me.
I'm Agnes Merriweather, and before we go, I'd just like to make use of this platform provided to me and denied to others about the religious ceremony we'll be holding in the park to pray for the protection of the plants. It's organized by our Do No Harm Plants organization. In addition to the ceremony, we will also be holding a March for Our Leaves protest.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you all for joining us today. This wraps up our discussion. And join us next week when we debate the new wheelchair ramp being put into the library. Very hot topic. Until then, this is Heroes Don't Take Waterbirds Community Corner.
Wait, I was going to tell everyone when the ceremony and the protest take place.
No, that's okay. I'm Leroy Stratton, reporting from the HGTWB conference room. Goodbye for now. Another tear-jerking installment in the loves and tragedies of Mary Tragedy. As you'll recall from our last visit, Mary has been diagnosed with 12 types of various undiscovered cancers. Will this sickness affect her engagement to the good Dr. Beaumont? And what of her upcoming court trial for the crime she did not commit? We'll explore these questions and more, but first, ladies, you know what works swell on those grimy dishpan hands? Oxydove soap flakes. A recent highly scientific laboratory study that may or may not have been funded by Oxydove found Oxydove, the leading brand of soap flakes. So now you know, Mrs. Homemaker, that Oxydove is oxy-swell. And now we look in on Mary Tragedy as she's about to speak with her fiancé, the good Dr. Beaumont. She opens her mouth and we hear...
George?
Yes, dear?
I got a call from the hospital today.
Yes, dear?
They told me that the test came back, and I have 3 more undiscovered cancers.
Yes, dear?
I also got a letter from my twin sister today. You know, the evil one. She said she's stolen the entire family fortune and pinned the terrible murder on Mayor on me, which, as you know, is why I'm currently awaiting trial.
Yes, dear?
Oh, George! You're such an understanding soul. No matter what life throws at us, we always stand defiantly against it, bearing our steely grit against the forces of misery, remembering that no matter what, we have each other and the things could always be worse.
Join Mary Tragedy tomorrow in Chapter 372 of his story as things get worse. In the meantime, remember, Oxydove is Oxyswell.
The name's Spork. Frankie Spork. I've been having private detective printed after my name on my business cards for years. Mostly because I'm a private detective, but also because the card looked kind of bare without some sort of occupation listed after my name. I tried some different designs to fill up the blank space on the card, but they are more expensive than just the white ones. Those card printer people must make a fortune. Kind of a ripoff, like, I don't even hand out my business cards to that many people now that I think about it. The only one I've given out recently was, let's see. I guess it was yesterday. Gave it to the new tenants in the office across the hall. Odd couple of guys. Come to think of it, they were going into the private investigative business as well. Cutting in on my territory. And in the same building, no less. Something awful suspicious about it, if you ask me. Nobody asked me, though. And if no one was asking, that meant no one was talking. And people don't talk when they're keeping secrets. So I know something was afoot. I got up from my chair, opened the door a crack, and peeked out down the hallway. The glass door to their office had just gotten fresh lettering painted on it this morning. Private Eyes for Hire, it read. And underneath in tiny letters, not affiliated with the CIA. And underneath in even tinier letters, so go look somewhere else if you're looking for someone previously affiliated with the CIA. Well, I knew 2 things. 1, that these guys definitely weren't affiliated with the CIA. 2, they were very insistent on it. I crept out into the hall to get a closer look through the glass.
Jack Saturday. Me and my partner Dan are former CIA agents. I say former, for after our government betrayed us and marked us for termination, we were forced to go off the proverbial grid. Yes, the Central Intelligence Agency was apparently just as corrupt as the police force we were once a part of. Now, on the other side of the country, we were forced to start anew under different identities. Well, Dan had a different identity. I had kind of grown a little too fond of my name to give it up.
But Jack, I'm fond of my name too. Why do I have to—
Quiet, Billy. Anyway, we're working to help the little guy now. Defenders of the defenseless. Guardians of the gritty alleys of New York. Private guns for hire in a city with secrets around every— Hey, Billy, who's that guy sticking his face in the door?
Well, looks like the guy from across the hall. I'll let him in.
Wait a second, Billy. What reason does he have for snooping around here?
Well, he probably just wants to meet us since we moved in next to him.
Oh, sure. Maybe he brought us a pie as a housewarming gift. This isn't Mayberry, Billy. Nobody's that friendly anymore. If I had to guess, I'd say he was sent here by the CIA to pull a hit job on us.
A hit job, Jack?
It's a technical term for when someone has you bumped off through an unassuming third party. And of all the unassuming third parties I've ever seen, he's the unassumingest. Hey, you!
He spotted me as I was looking into the crack in the door. I ducked back into the hallway and tiptoed down the stairs.
He ducked into the hallway the second I shouted and tried tiptoeing down the stairs. But being nobody's fool, of which I ain't, I followed him.
I looked over my shoulder. He was standing right behind me, with a look in his eyes that said,
Hey, listen, your monologuing is kind of stepping all over my monologuing. Do you mind?
Sorry, pal. I've been doing this monologuing thing for years. If you want to talk to yourself, just remember some of us were in the game first.
What do you mean, first? Only the toughest, most hard-boiled, street-smart, quit-pappy types like myself get to monologue. And maybe Billy, but he's kind of new. Still needs to work up to it.
Okay, okay, forget it. We can both monologue.
Fine. What's your deal, anyway?
I'm a private eye. What's yours?
Ex-CIA.
Jack!
Oops. Oh, well, he looks like a tough nut. He'd probably have gotten out of me sooner or later.
Wait, the sign on your door said you weren't a CIA.
Pretty clever, huh? That's what's called establishing a cover.
Sure fooled me.
That was the point. So are you here to kill us? I must warn you, I've been known to put up a pretty good fight for at least 5 minutes. When my fists get tired, I usually let my pals Smith and Wesson do the talking. Really speeds up conflicts.
Nah, I was just trying to figure out what you two were up to. What's the deal? Why are you pretending not to be government spooks?
Bit of a story. The suits betrayed us and wanted us dead. But as the old Saturday Family saying goes, better dead than a filthy, gutless, bureaucracy-loving communist.
People want you dead? Boy, I've been there. Several times.
Really? How'd you escape that particular predicament?
Faked my death and changed my name. Got pretty good at it after a while. Became my standard response to most things. I did it just last month to get out of jury duty.
Hey, that ain't a bad idea. Billy, write that down.
Write what down, Jack?
The faking our death things. It's a perfect way to throw the CIA off our trail for good.
Yeah, well, good luck with that and whatnot. I'm gonna go get me a couple of them little street tacos.
Hold on there, bucko. We can't have you running around Chicago,
New York,
Minneapolis with the knowledge of who we are. You're liable to tip off the spooks.
Don't worry about me, pal. I can keep a secret.
Yeah? What are you gonna do when the CIA skips over the sissy stuff like waterboarding and gives you full-on interrogation torture techniques? We can't risk it. You need to stay here with us until our deaths are sufficiently faked.
I don't think you realize how badly I need those street tacos right now.
Billy, go get the man a street taco.
You got it, Jack.
Okay, now that we've had lunch, let's figure this out. How exactly are we gonna make our demises look real?
Well, maybe one of you could kill the other, and then go to prison and get the chair.
Say, not bad. I like the way you think, Smork.
Spork.
Sure. So, Billy, should I kill you or should you kill me?
But Jack, we're only supposed to fake our deaths.
Wait a second. Scratch that plan. We're only supposed to fake our deaths.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Good catch, Jack.
Hey.
You've got a plan?
The taco stand accidentally gave us an extra taco. Guess I'll put it in my drawer here and save it for later.
Okay, let's focus now. We've got to figure this out. My God, they've got us surrounded! Hit the dirt!
I think that was just someone at the door.
Oh, right. Billy, help me up.
Right, Jack?
Come in.
Hello there. Are you the detective?
Well, we're definitely not CIA, if that's what you're insinuating.
I'm Frankie Spork, Private Eye. These two are my, partners.
Yeah, I'm Jack Saturday, and this is Dan Smith.
Jack, you called me Dan.
Of course I did. I didn't want him finding out your real name is Billy. Now, quiet.
What can we do for you?
Well, you see, it's an interesting problem I have. My name's William Honeyworth, and it seems, well, I live on a large estate, and I'm very wealthy, you see, and I believe someone's trying to have me killed.
Say, you wouldn't happen to know who he is. We could use somebody to kill us.
Well, I don't. That's the problem. Someone's cut my brake lines, planted a bomb in my house, set fire to my office, and shot at me through my bay window.
Huh. Sounds like a bunch of coincidences to me.
Well, it does?
Yeah, all that stuff happens to me to some degree or another, most weeks.
And none of it was because someone was trying to kill you to stop you from solving the case?
Wait, come to think of it, that would probably explain it.
We don't have time to stand around here. We need our deaths faked and pronto.
Hey, I can only handle one situation at a time. Now then, mister.
Meriwether.
I thought you said your name was Honeyworth.
Well, actually...
Run for it, Billy! He's a hitman!
Well, that worked out, Peachy.
I have my eyes closed. What happened?
Jack ran out into the street. Your CIA friend followed, and he got hit by a bus.
Yeah, too bad the blow only put him in the hospital. Hey!
What is it, Jack?
I'll bet the government spooks don't know we failed yet. I just got a great idea.
What?
Let's fake another car accident. Make it look like the same thing happened to us while he was chasing me. Forky here can make it look like I got run down by a random driver and tell the CIA about it when they come snooping around.
Great idea, Jack.
I know all my ideas are. Where can we get a car?
This was, in fact, a very stupid idea, but I had nothing else going on that day and thought it'd be good for a few laughs. So I called up a cousin of mine and asked to borrow a beat-up old junker. And soon, the three of us were standing on the street corner outside my building with the car and a bucket of red paint.
Hey, quit monologuing and help us splatter the stuff around. Gotta make it look real gory.
Excuse me, bud, are you Jack Saturday?
Yeah?
Do you know, Mr. William Meriwether Honeyworth? I'm his brother. He's, in the hospital. He was hit by a bus trying to catch up with you to return a wallet you dropped.
A wallet?
Yeah, he wanted me to give it back to you. Here.
Thanks. What? Do you want a tip or something?
No, just wondering what you were doing painting that old car.
Official business. Get lost.
Okay.
Don't you think you were kind of rude to him, Jack? After all, it's our fault his brother's in the hospital.
That guy who was trying to kill him probably would have gotten him eventually anyway. Billy, here's a tip. Never feel guilty for anything. Only slows you down.
Well, you got it, Jack.
Guys, does this mean we can stop painting the car now?
Yeah, this seems kind of silly now that I think of it.
Yeah, I didn't realize faking our deaths would be so hard.
If we're done here, I'm gonna go see if I can solve that guy's case while he's in the hospital.
Yes, Mr. Spork, you do that.
Ah! Agent Bly, where'd you come from?
I've been standing here all day. You two aren't very observant.
Should I whack him in the back of the head, Jack?
I only want to talk. I've been watching you since you left Hawaii. I'm afraid there's been a misunderstanding.
What, you couldn't decide which way you wanted us iced?
No. Agents Rowe and Brighton were about to run Operation Red Dove back on the island, when another one of our field operatives radioed in a tip that the arms dealer you were tracking was actually still on the beach. You two were unfortunately caught in the middle of a firefight with him.
Wait, you mean you weren't trying to kill us?
Negative.
Does this mean we can have our CIA jobs back?
Negative.
What?
I misjudged you two when you were recruited. You aren't very good agents. In fact, I'm surprised you can even function as adult human beings.
Well, now what are we supposed to do?
We can offer you desk jobs, filing paperwork in our Ohio branch's basement.
I don't think that quite appeals to me, Bly.
It's either that or military prison.
Have I ever mentioned what a great filer I am?
Fine, come with me.
Jack, does this mean I can be Dan again?
Frankly, I'm too used to the name Billy to go back to Dave or Don or whatever it was.
I understand, Jack.
It appeared that fate took another turn, and Billy and I were no longer criminals. Rather, we were once again on the right side of the law, albeit in a rather limited capacity. But even if we were just filing paperwork, we would still be dedicated to serving law and justice. Whatever law and justice we can find in a small Ohio office building basement, you can bet we'll be serving it. Come on, Billy. What, Billy, where'd you go?
Over here, Saturday. Hit the car.
Oh, I got distracted for a second. Well, come on, what are we waiting for?
Well, I'm not quite sure what just happened, but it looks like another case just wrapped up. Good thing, too. I really wanted to eat that extra taco I left at my desk. Probably need some hot sauce for it. Let's see. Where can I get that picante stuff? I think the grocer down the block is open, but he was a real jerk last time I went in there. Got all offended when I taste-tested all the produce. Oh well. Beggars can't be choosers, I suppose. Seems like I had a case or something I was supposed to start on. Well, whatever it was, couldn't be more important than this taco. Oh, wait. Yeah, come to think of it, that guy's already in the hospital. Maybe I can go in there, switch some charts around or something, and fake his death.
Okay, so which...
That's the greatest crossover this century.
Have a great
Avengers got nothing on that.
What's the deal? Why are you pretending to not be government sporks? Spooks?
That was a real tough one. I want to keep that.
Yeah.
You two were unfortunately caught in the middle of a firefight with him.
It sounds like you're doing a recap.
Don't you think you were kind of rude to him, Jack? After all, it's our fault his brother's in the hospital.
I want to get a reread of that with Gage closer to the
Yeah, what are you doing?
About 10 feet back and down the road.
Jack, I thought I'd talk to you from across the street.
It's out of their tolerance.
Should I whack him in the... Should I whack him in the back of the head?
Stan?
What's this family?
You've been listening to Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks on KCIW. Heroes is written by McLean and Jake Westbrook, produced by Jake Westbrook and Dane Tittman, and performed by McLean Westbrook, Corey Sarabia, Gage Westbrook, McKenna Davis, Jaden Payne, Jake Westbrook, and Dane Tittman.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me.
Oh, Sam.
On the shoulder and in the flesh. Any messages?
Just the usual.
Sharpen your pencils, straighten your seams, get out your notebook, and prepare to be confounded by the contradictions I shall contradictate to you during my report on the Honest Thief Caper.
Confused? Well, so am I. Want to get really mixed up? Let me tell you what happened last week. This is real silly. So silly, it wound up with murder.
Now address an envelope. The box 13, care of Star Times.
I want to hire you. How much will it cost?
I was sitting in my office thinking about June Allison when the phone rang. Diamond Detective Agency. No other corpse can make that statement.
Mr. Diamond, I have a problem, and Miss Asher seemed to think that you could help.
Well, depends.
Depends on what? You don't even know my problem yet.
Look, I don't care if you swipe John Frederick's toupee for $100 a day in expenses. I'll grow a mattress on his skull.
The letter was typewritten. There was no signature. And it read, enclosed is an invitation to the garden charity bazaar at the Arthur Mannering Estate this coming Thursday. That was all. Four lines. But, brother, what was in between the lines that I couldn't read?
So you're mixed up in it. Now get down here.
Now, wait a minute. Who's dead?
A guy named Benet.
Let's go for a ride, huh? On a nice day like this? Let's walk.
Save your energy. You need it.
I see what you mean.
Who do you think did it? Well, I know you had two enemies.
Nice gun you got there.
Yeah, nice car, too. Right down the street.
How handy.
Yes.
There's some designs in the safe and vault. The killer has to get them out tonight.
Hey, they're shooting at us.
It's a general idea. Where can we get undercover?
For some reason, when I get a client, they always run into silly little things like murder or something. It's 3 o'clock. I don't think your killer's going to show.
No dice. The police will be here in a minute.
You've got less room to live than you
thought. Bernays been killed.
What?
You don't seem too upset, Mr. Winters.
Really?
Private detective. The name's Diamond. I think you'd better come down to the station. Answer a few questions. Hold on. You don't... This is absurd. The police get very unhappy if a murder suspect catches the first plane to the border. Where were you between 3 and 4 o'clock this morning, Mr. Winters?
What do you want to know for?
This is a lieutenant from Homicide.
Holiday, one more chance for that diamond.
Out! Him, police siren!
Throw it out, Holiday!
We're gonna hold out as long as you...
What's this all about? What are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
For me?
Point by point, it goes something like this. The killer wore gloves, and it was too hot that night for a man to wear them without looking suspicious.
Are you saying that you think
that
I...
That you killed Bernay? That's enough to put you away for 20 years.
If we stick your girlfriend with a murder rap, you're an accessory before and after the fact.
Maybe we'll get to sit in a nice electric glove seat.
Okay, haul them both out of the car.
Period. End of report.
Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. Did you know that you can get involved with our programming? Our nonprofit organization is entirely volunteer-run, and there are plenty of fun and fulfilling opportunities to apply your skills and talents. If you're interested, visit our website at www.kciw.org and click Get Involved to see what kinds of exciting opportunities we at KCIW can offer you.